in high school, like I said, I am 50, so I graduated in 1993. And there back then, that's when like Guess jeans and like Pepe jeans and all that were like really popular. And I wanted those so badly because everybody else had them, but they didn't come over a size 10. And I was an 18. So I would buy the men's version because I could fit those. But on the Guess jeans, this is something that's ingrained in my brain like 30 years later. The little triangle on the pocket on the men's is a different color than it is on the women's. So everybody knew I was wearing men's pants. So it's just that kind of stuff that sticks with you even 30 years later.
Hey, it's Mel. Before we dive in, just a quick note. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The insights shared by our guests are not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your healthcare provider before making changes to your diet, exercise, or lifestyle. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome to our Sleep Life podcast. This is Mel, your host, and today we have a patient story I'm so excited about because she's going to help you guys with so many random things you don't even know yet. So this is Remaking Jody from Instagram and TikTok. So welcome to the show, Jody.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, yes. I love what you do. You're so fun. Like, you're always smiling. I'm like, oh, that's my girl. So tell everybody, you know, when did this journey start for you?
Yeah. So, excuse me. So there's actually two different journeys at play here. So first of all, I had gastric bypass in June of 21. So that is that journey.
Yeah.
And then I also have been on a style journey, and they don't necessarily line up, but they do more than I would like to admit, maybe. And what I mean by that is, it took me losing the weight, and I had skin surgery as well, to really feel confident in my body to be able to dress the way I do now. And I regret that a little bit. I wish I would have had the confidence to do that before when I weighed 350 pounds. But I didn't. And here we are. What I like to do is, I love to encourage anybody at whatever size they're at to embrace their body as it is now and dress however the heck you want, no matter what size you are, and take up as much space as you want. Like, I grew up, I'm 50, so I grew up through all of the diet culture and going to Weight Watchers with my mom when I was 12 on Saturday mornings. Like, I have struggled with my weight my whole entire life. To be able to now flip it and be like, you know what? Why are we trying to look smaller? Why do we care? Like, I can be seen and take up as much space as I want. And who cares what anyone else has to say about it? Like, you do you. If you want to shrink and take up less space, more power to you. I don't want to do that. I don't choose to do that. And if it's something that you're doing because you think you have to, you don't. You can be whatever you want to be.
You can definitely, like, because my style journey kind of happened too after surgery. Mm-hmm. But I felt like before I was like, I'm stylish, I'm confident. But then I didn't realize I wasn't. Like, mm-hmm. I just thought I was. Like, the weight coming off and hearing people like what I'm wearing and complimenting what I'm doing made me be more confident and buy more things and get more, like, embracing my style. It's definitely, it's interesting because I feel like everybody goes through this style situation, but it's not right away. It's like, I think, I would say for me, it was like year 2 to 3 is when the style started. And do you feel the same?
No, for me, well, and I've always kind of had a little bit different style than everybody else, not to the degree I have now. And that's even built over time, just as I've had a platform. Like, if you look back at my videos I was making when I first started my page versus now, it's totally different. And it's because I have access to different things that I didn't know were even a thing. That I, you know, am encouraged by other creators who are, you know, quirky and interesting and unique. You know, I didn't know that was a thing. You know, so I think part of that has shaped it too. It's not necessarily just the size of my body that has made a difference. It's being exposed to other creative people who approach their style in a creative way. And like I said, I was doing some of that before, but not to the extent that I am now. And part of that too is just lack of options. You know, when you're a size 26, 28, or 22, 24, you don't have the same options I do now as a 12, 14. You just don't.
You just don't.
You know, no. I was an eighth grader dressing like I was going to a business meeting because Lane Bryant was all there was.
Right? Yeah. And you had like bedazzle everything.
Like, it was insane. I remember in high school, like I said, I am 50, so I graduated in 1993. And there back then, that's when like Guess jeans and like Pepe jeans and all that were like really popular. And I wanted those so badly because everybody else had them, but they didn't come over a size 10.
No.
And I was an 18. So I would buy the men's version. Because I can fit those on the Guess jeans. This is something that's ingrained in my brain like 30 years later. The little triangle on the pocket on the men's is a different color than it is on the women's.
Oh.
So everybody knew I was wearing men's pants. So it's just that kind of stuff that sticks with you even 30 years later.
Like, for sure.
You know, I hear people in plus size clothing is still nowhere where it needs to be, but it is way better than it was when I was a teenager. Like, we had zero options, you know, and we had a store called 579 where everything was like the highest size they carried was a size 9. And my friends would go there because they were all tiny. Plus, I'm also almost 6 feet tall. So I was big in every way and they were all little tiny petite things. And we'd be like, let's go to 579. Like, yeah, okay, let's go there. And I could look at accessories.
Right. You're like, I'll hang out, I guess.
This is super fun. You want to go with me to Lane Bryant and pick out some, you know, 50 something women's wear at 15? Like,
right.
It was a very different experience for someone in a smaller body in the late 80s and 90s than it is now.
For sure. Because even like I'm 39, going to be 40. And yeah, like I was a 90s kid and legit, there was nothing. And what I did is I did the same thing as you, just not with jeans. It was shirts and sweaters where I hung out in the guy section. I went to PacSun. I went to Zoomies. I even a Hot Topic I went to and just wore all the guy stuff because like, I mean, it fit me.
You wanted to shop at the same places as everybody else, but you just couldn't. There was no XXL even.
No.
At places like Old Navy even back then. Like,
it was wild. Yeah. And I remember my mom being like, I don't know if I can find you pants that like you want because I wanted flare pants. But she's like, I don't know where to go to get these. And so we like ended up at like a Shopko. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Right. I remember Shopko.
And like we found them in my size. But that was the deal. It like took forever because there just were zero options
for us. You
didn't
have online shopping back then either.
No.
So if it wasn't local, you didn't have it. And they're just, like I said, plus size clothing still has a very long way to go.
It does.
But compared to what it was when I was a teenager, there's a million options.
Like, right? It's like night and day. Yeah. So when did your weight loss surgery like happen? Like what made you go like, you know what? I'm doing this damn thing.
I had always wanted to do it. So I looked into it probably 20 years ago before I even had kids. And my insurance wouldn't cover it. So I just kind of gave up on it. I literally have tried every single diet out there, you know, the cabbage soup diet, diet pills, diet and exercise. Like I tried all the things. And
the Atkins. Remember the Atkins?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. None of that worked for me.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Anyways. Jenny Craig, like all of them. I did all of them. And so I had just kind of resigned myself to the fact that this is my body. This is who I'm going to be. And it is what it is. Right. Then in December of 20, it must have been, my niece, who is, she's like 15 years younger than me. We were at my house and we were doing Christmas cookies and stuff. And she's like, oh, did I tell you I'm getting weight loss surgery? I was like, oh, I'm so jealous. Like I always wanted to do that. And I'm like, who's your insurance? And she told me, I was like, well, that's who I have. I was like, maybe I should look into it. So I was like, I'm going to do it. So I looked into it. Literally, that was on a Saturday. I looked into it on Monday And they're like, yeah, we absolutely will cover it, you know, because I had a history of having lost and gained and, you know, all that. And so I made an appointment with a bariatric surgeon. The soonest I could get in was January. So this is like mid-December. So now I had to wait till January, which was fine.
Yeah, not too bad.
So I went to the appointment and they were like, you have to lose, I think it was like 30 pounds or something. And but I could start the process because my insurance required like 3 months of, you know how all the hoops you have to do. I don't remember them all specifically now, but maybe it was 6 months. I think I'd have 6 months. And so we started the process. And then that day I downloaded a food tracker.
Okay.
And the doctor did not tell me to do this. I put myself on an 1800 calorie diet, started logging all of my food because I'm like, I need to start this now because I can't wait for the surgery to be the reason I start. Right.
No, that's a great way to do it.
So I started literally that day logging everything, doing the water, everything that I knew I was going to have to do post-op. I started the day of my first appointment.
Holy moly. Congrats. Not many people do that.
I wanted to be prepared for what was going to come. I didn't want to be a shock to my system. Right. And I'm so glad I did it that way. And I started working out and going to the gym, you know, all that literally that day.
That's incredible. So then
by the time my surgery came in June, I was ready. Like I had lost the 30 pounds or whatever I needed to lose. And I had habits in place already that would make me successful for what I needed to do.
And that's what I want. If people don't take anything else away from this, but that are newbies, like literally I'm doing coaching now. And that's the one thing is like, let's start doing some of the things now. Mm-hmm. Because once you build that habit, the longer you have it built, the better it's going to be. And your mindset is like in it. So it sounds like you were like,
yeah,
right.
I was ready because I knew it had taken me 45 years to get approved. So I wasn't going to squander the opportunity. And it also helped me to start. I measured everything. I tracked everything because it also helped me to see what serving sizes really were. And that was very eye-opening as well. But like I said, it all prepared me for post-op.
Great. Because, yeah, like the portion thing was very eye-opening. I was like, oh, I'm really overeating. Not even just like a little bit, like it's a lot. Like what in the world?
You look at a container or something and you assume like one container is one serving. You're looking at it, like it's four servings. Like what? I was eating two of these, like,
right. And then those crumble cookies, like that, there's like four servings in one cookie, guys.
Yeah.
So it's like insane amounts of sugar and carbs and all the things that we shouldn't be having in our bodies.
Even like, you know, a bag of chips, not like the little ones, but like the like slightly bigger ones. That's like three servings of chips or something. It's like,
you're like, what? Really? What? Hold up. This is wild.
Yeah.
So what was your weight when you went in?
My weight when I went in was 334.
Okay. Now, you said you had the bypass. Did you choose that or did they choose that for you?
I had the option to do either the bypass or the sleeve.
Okay.
And I decided I'm only doing this one time. Nope. I don't want to have to go back and have a revision if it doesn't work. I want the gold standard the first time. Like, why not? Just do it and be done with it.
Nice, nice. Well, I'm glad that you're able to do that. So how long did you have to wait for your surgery?
So I went to my very first appointment January 11th. I had my surgery June 9th.
Wow, almost exactly 6 months. That is amazing.
And then funny side story. So I told you my niece is the one who kind of kicked this off. She and we both had surgery the same day. Same surgeon. He did my bypass and then did her sleeve right after.
It's amazing. Yeah. So you're twinsies. That's what we call it. Oh, my God. How is she doing, if you don't mind
She's doing
me
amazing. Yeah.
Good, good. I bet it's nice to have someone, especially in the family, that literally knows what you're going through.
It is. And honestly, something that has been really helpful for me, and when I started my TikTok is where I started. It was a bariatric account when I first started.
Okay.
And I used to talk a lot about like support groups and stuff. I think it's so important for people to find, like you're saying, someone who can relate to them and knows what they're going through. I actually had joined some like Facebook pages and stuff when I was pre-op, I think. Yeah, it had to have been pre-op. And there was someone made a comment about being from the same city that I'm from. I was like, oh, hey, I'm from there too. And so then we became friends. We're like really good friends now. And she had her surgery a week before I had mine. And she lives like a few blocks away from me, weirdly enough. But she and I, well, she really started it and I help her kind of a little bit. We do a monthly support group where it's very informal and it doesn't matter which hospital. We have two very large health systems here. Mm-hmm. And she went to one and I went to the other. So it's like, we don't care where you had your surgery. If you went to Mexico, if you went wherever, we don't care. And we don't care if you're pre-op or post-op. It's for everybody to come, ask questions, share recipes, all that good stuff, and just get the support that you need.
Yeah.
And that has been really helpful for me, but also for a lot of us, because people don't understand unless you've been through it. You don't know how mental it is.
It's more mental than physical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then even after you lose the weight, then you've got the body dysmorphia and that messes with you in a way that, like, till it happened to me, I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, okay, you don't know what size you are or whatever. Like, I couldn't relate, but it's real.
It's even real.
This far out, it's still real for me sometimes. Like, I'm better now because, like, I had skin surgery in 2022. And so that helped me. That was more mental than physical for me as well. The main reason I did that, I had my arms and I had a tummy tuck. And that was more for me to be able to see the difference. Because when I still had my stomach there, I'm like, yeah, you're still fat. Like, you did all this and you're still fat. Not that I don't still sometimes feel that way, but it's better.
It's a lot better.
That was the main reason I did it.
I would say that 10 years out that it does get better, but it still creeps up every once in a while.
It sure does.
Where like when you're walking past like one of those mirror windows, you know, and you're like, whoa, that's me.
Yeah.
Huh?
I still do that. Like, oh, look at me. I look good.
Yeah. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I actually do look good. Like, I forget sometimes. What I'm walking around like. So you said that you had skin surgery. It sounds like a year later.
Mm-hmm.
So how much weight did you lose?
I lost at that point, like right around 130 pounds.
Incredible. That's amazing. So, I mean, and you were in your late 40s when this is happening.
I was 45 when I had my surgery.
Yeah, so mid 40s. So like, how did that feel just being that age and doing this process? Because I want to hear more from this group, mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
Yeah, I wish I had done it years earlier. That was really my only regret. I have had no regrets about going through the process. And I've been really transparent about doing it. And I have talked to a few people like in my personal life who are like, hey, I'm interested in doing this. Can you tell me your experience? You know, I have a girl I used to work with and she wanted to have bariatric surgery and she ended up having it. She had the sleeve. And she was like, how did you decide, you know, the bypass versus the sleeve? And I told her and she's like, well, they told me I could do either one. And I think I'm going to go the sleeve. I'm like, why? Why would you do that if you have the option? Like, you're going under the knife anyway. Like, why not just do it? And she was so afraid of the malabsorption that she chose to not. And her surgery has not been successful.
No.
And I mean, because she's probably 4 years out now and she's barely lost anything. Okay. And I'm like, maybe if you'd have the bypass, you might have had more success. I don't know. But.
Well, and we know it's mental, too. So she might be having some mental struggles.
Probably it, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But I that's one of the things with this support group that we have. We also have a Facebook page that goes with it locally. And I always, with new people, like if they're going through the process or they have questions, I'm like, always reach out, like DM me. I'm happy to help. Like any questions I can answer for you to, you know, give you honest truth that maybe you know, you're afraid to ask your medical team, but always defer to your medical team. Don't take advice from randos on the internet. But if you have questions about my experience, I'm happy to answer any questions or talk to people, because that's the way you find out the real scoop, like from real people who lived it.
Oh, yeah. And I couldn't say more about like be in the community. Just jump in. We all love each other. Like, and we all just want to help each other. I think because we felt embarrassed. We felt ashamed before and isolated to where we were like, we're scared to ask questions. Like, what if they think this about me?
Right.
Like, you know, so ask the questions, message us. I'm going to have Jody's all information below for you to click on to go follow her, go watch her stuff. So don't worry. You'll be able to get to see her stuff after the show is over. So you lost 130 pounds. Mm-hmm. So what made you, one, get plastics done? And then how'd you choose your surgeon?
I never thought I would have plastic surgery. Let me just go on the record and tell you that right now. I never, ever, ever thought that would be something I would do. But then I had lost 100 pounds before through a weight loss program. And I never got done because I had 150 to lose. And so then it just kind of, you know how it goes, it tapers off and all the weight and then some came back. So when I had my surgery and I had lost 130 pounds, because I lost it relatively quickly. So yes, it was only like a year and a half from my one surgery to the other. I had been pretty steady at that weight for a while.
That's important.
So I just got to the point where, like I said before, I didn't feel quote unquote done. And I know I'm never done. So I don't really like to use that term because this is a forever struggle. Like, I understand that. But I wanted to feel like I had reached my goal, right? Even though I technically didn't. I set a ridiculous, and it wasn't anything my surgeon set. I set my own goal. So I am 5'10". And I, for some reason, told myself I should weigh 170 pounds. And that was my goal.
Okay.
That was my goal. I will tell you, the lowest I have ever gotten was 198 pounds. And I had COVID.
Well, yeah.
So my body did not like 198 pounds. My body likes right around 205, 210. And that's where I am, and that's where I will be, and that's totally fine. So once I realized that and came to terms with, you're never going to be 170 and it's fine, that's when I was like, okay, I'm quote unquote done losing weight. Like, this is where I'm going to be. This is where I want to be. And so that's when I was like, okay, for me to feel like that's real, I need to get rid of some of these things. I mainly for that, it was my stomach. My arms, I did mainly, I'm going to be honest, for vanity reasons, because I never in my entire life, because I have been overweight my whole life, I never felt like I could wear sleeveless anything ever because my arms were so bad. And so that was the reason I did my arms. That was vanity. My stomach was more mental, because I wanted to feel like I was quote unquote done losing weight and that I could just appreciate and love where I was at. And I didn't know that I could, because the other thing I knew myself well enough to know that while I still had that, you know, I had the double belly, all that, I knew that anytime I gained even 5 pounds, my brain would go, oh, yep, you're going right back up to where you were. Because look at, you still got this. And so I had to get rid of that. Like, I just had to, for my own mental health, get rid of that. And that's why I chose it. As far as who, I just did some research. I had it done locally.
Good. Okay.
And it was great. It worked out great. And I was able to get them both done at the same time.
Amazing. Amazing. So, and I'm sure you lost weight with just getting the skin removal, right?
No.
Like, no.
No, weirdly, no. I weighed pretty much the same, like, with a couple pounds, but she took 12 pounds of skin off of my abdomen.
I was going to say, like, you had taken some stuff off. So,
yeah.
And do you have any children or anything?
Yeah. So I have 3 kids. I have one stepdaughter that's 26. that lives a few hours away. And then I have two like biological, we just call them the kids. We don't distinguish like whose or whose. But I have two that I've given birth to. Yes. And they are 22 and 20.
So. Nice. Well, and the reason why I bring that up too is like as moms, like, our stomach does some weird stuff after we have children.
Yeah. And I had two C-sections.
Oh, okay. So
like I said, plus I had been overweight my whole life. Like I was a size 18 when I graduated high school. Like I always was overweight, like always. So I had no amount of losing weight was going to make that skin go anywhere. Like it just wasn't. Nope. It didn't matter. And that's why I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm worth doing this for. And my mental health is worth doing this for, to feel like I can be the best version of myself that I want to be. And I can finally be free of that I lived with for 45 years.
Right. Well, and it's, you are worth that. Like you get to do whatever you want in this life and you got the surgery, you lost that damn weight. Yeah. You can totally have skin surgery. It's your money, your choice. Do what you want.
Yeah. And I was fortunate enough, you know, my husband has been very supportive of my whole journey and my kids too. Like I've had a few people comment like on, cause you know, I wear a lot of kooky things. I've had people comment like, oh, your kids must be so embarrassed. I'm like, no, my kids love my weirdness because I embrace their weird as well. Like they're artists and, you know, we're all a little quirky in our own right. And they love it. Like my youngest daughter, she's in college and she's an art major. And she's like, oh, mom, all my friends love you. Like they all follow you on TikTok.
Yes.
My kids, they are very proud of me and they have been through, they've seen me struggle with my weight. They were with me when I lost that 100 pounds with that other weight loss program that I did. And to this day, they can't eat just chicken and vegetables because they lived on that for
a while, like, I'm sure,
while I was trying to do that. But they've been very supportive and very helpful. And when I talk to my husband, I'm like, you know, I really want to do this. I want to have this skin taken off. He's like, all right, we'll figure out a way to pay for it. So honestly, I'll be very transparent. I did a 401k loan for it. And it was the best thing I ever did. Best use of money ever.
Yeah, because I mean, you just pay it back with your when you work. So it's like a win-win. Like I do a side podcast that's called The Cutting Edge and it's just with a plastic surgeon and just with a bariatric therapist, uh-huh. Right? They definitely tell you not to do that, but I think it's actually a brilliant idea.
It's for me, it was a better option than like a care credit.
Yeah.
Or, and I knew because my surgery, I had two surgeries on the same day. It was $15,000. I knew that me sitting there saving $15,000 was not realistic.
It's just
I knew that was not going to happen and I would never get the surgery if that's what I had to do. And I know that sounds bad, but
it's real.
That was my life. Like if I was going to do it, this was the only way I could do it. And for me, it was 100% worth it.
I think that it shouldn't matter where it comes from as long as you are okay with it, right? Because it's your finances, it's your life. Again, exactly. Your body, your choice, do all the things. And so it sounds like you had a lot of support around you. Was there any, because I've lost friends, I've had family members be a little rude. So like, have you had to deal with any of that going through this process?
Not really. And this is so stupid, but the only one I've had to deal with is I have an ex-husband. So my kid's dad, we were married for a long time and he doesn't know I had weight loss surgery. But he knows I struggled with my weight. Obviously we were married.
Yeah.
And he would always make, like when I would see him at events for like my daughter, my youngest, he'd be like, oh, I see you finally figured out how to lose weight or whatever, like stuff
nice.
Like that. Like, yeah, I did. Like,
I did. Thanks.
You know, it's just, but yeah, not really for the most part. I have had a few people be like, oh, well, just don't gain it back. Like, yeah, thanks for that tip. Like,
right? Like that's not already in my,
like, I don't worry about that on the daily, but yes, thank you for that advice. So, but yeah, other than that, not really. Everybody has been really supportive. And again, like I said, I've been very transparent about what I did. Like I've had people like on Facebook, for example, like people I knew like a long time ago that don't live near me, who maybe didn't know I had surgery or whatever, DM me like on Facebook, like, hey, I see you lost weight. Like, and they struggle themselves. Like, what can I ask what you did? I'm like, yeah, I'll tell you exactly what I did. You know,
100%. I say,
if I can help someone else not feel the way I felt, I'm 100% going to do it.
Well, I think people forget, like, when you're a big person, you have all these different feelings throughout the day, and it like kind of comes in waves. It's like, okay, I feel great in the morning, right? And then it could be like just one look, one comment, and then now I'm like in my head going like, oh my God, I'm a fat, like I'm a lazy fat person, like I need to go work out, like I need to stop eating. Like it just starts, you know? And so it's like we feel uncomfortable all the time. So, you know, I remember being sweaty and icky and just like, I would get like irritable if someone was like asking a bunch of questions while I was feeling like so uncomfortable, because I'm like, just, I can't right now. Like I'm in my head about being icky. Like,
right. Yeah.
It's just hard.
And that's why when I started wearing like tank tops, I was like, what? This is amazing. I was hot all the time. Like, why did you know, but you don't. I didn't feel comfortable wearing that because I was so self-conscious about my arms. Like one of the, this is really stupid, and I don't know that I've ever told anyone this before, but one of the things that I wanted to feel like I had made it was, so like say someone was going to describe you, like if you were looking, someone was going to look for you in a crowd, be like, oh, I'm looking for so-and-so, they're tall. I didn't want them to be like, oh, you know, that tall, dark-haired, heavy-set gal. Like, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be like, average height and build. Like, that's what I wanted to be referred to as. Like, that's the dumbest thing ever.
No.
But, like, that's like, okay, I look average height and weight. Good. Like, perfect. I don't need to look skinny. I don't need to look emaciated. I just want to look average. Like, I'm fine being average. And
there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's kind of where I'm at mentally, too. It's like, I'm very comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't really care to lose anymore, or I just don't want to gain. Like, it's right. It's just like, I'm just very comfortable. You get really, once you get to like a spot where your brain, I say when like your mind and your body are one, it's like you're untouchable, because you're like, yeah, I don't care what anybody says. Like, yeah. I'm comfortable in this body.
I always have that fear of regain, though. I do. I am on tirzepatide. Like, I'm also very transparent about that. For me, it's a maintenance food noise issue. And it's something I'll always be on. And that's fine. It's really just so that I can have the peace of mind to know I'm not going back to 330, 40, 50 pounds again.
Yes. And the food noise, really.
The food noise.
I just didn't realize how much I was thinking about food until it was gone.
Right.
I was like, wow, I was really like obsessive. Like,
Well, this is wild. So I watched that documentary that Oprah had about GLP-1s.
Okay.
And I was like, she was talking about food noise. And that was the first time I'd really heard that term. I was like, oh my God, not everybody has that. Like, I thought everybody had that. And I was like, wait, it was like mind like, phew, like. I thought everybody thought about food all the time like that. It's just me. Like, And that was literally, I was like, wait, I need to try one of these GLP-1s for that reason. Because I was like, I can turn that off. Like, that's a thing. And that was revolutionary for me watching that documentary. Because I was like, I did not know that not everybody is like that. I had no idea.
Yeah. That was news to me, too. I literally thought, like, oh, we all walk around thinking about these things. Like, we're all the same with this. And then to find out, no, there's a group of us that think about it all the time. And then there's other people that don't even think about it at all. And I'm like, no wonder why. Like,
right? Well, like, people, I used to know people, like, when I was younger, like, friends, oh, I forgot to eat. Like, what's that like? How do you forget? Like, I'm eating, thinking about what I'm going to eat next. Like,
thank you. Yes. Yes. Like, literally, I used to wake up being like, okay, what am I going to eat today?
Yeah.
And then I would get to breakfast and I would be thinking about lunch, and lunch would be thinking about dinner. Yeah. And like, it would never stop. Yeah. And I thought that was maybe just a mom thing, because we have to make sure meals are prepared. And like, because I have been told that women actually think about food more than men, just generally, because we are the preppers. and we are the nurturers, so like we have to do these things. So I was like, oh, that's why. And then it's like, no, it's actually a whole function.
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a bitch. Like, yes. Like, guys, this is another thing you need to take away. One, GLP-1s are not bad for you. Two, I am actually more productive because I'm not thinking about food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, I get more editing done. I'm doing way more content. Like, I'm actually able to function, like, almost 100%.
Yeah. And for me, it's not about losing more weight because, like I said, I'm where I'm at and I'm totally fine with it. Like I said, I hover right around 210, 25, 205, 210. Totally fine. I'm 5'10".
Yeah. You're tall. So
I have a flat stomach and my arms don't jiggle anymore and I'm good. Like,
how is the scar on your arms? Can I see?
Yeah. It's not bad. I mean,
I can't even see it.
It's not bad at all.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, awesome. So a little side note, this might be TMI, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So I have so much skin that my scar goes like all the way down to like where under my bra.
Yep.
And so she took, so I don't have to wear deodorant or shave my armpits anymore because she took all that out. Yeah. Best little happy accident after surgery ever.
Yeah. So some people don't realize that when you get into the armpit and down, they actually, it will happen to where you don't have to wear deodorant anymore. You're not having to shave anymore. Yeah. If you're a person that shaves
my
armpits.
Yeah, my skin and my armpit is so soft and smooth. Never have to touch it.
Incredible. That's got to be interesting. You're like, wait, I don't need deodorant.
I haven't bought deodorant in 4 years.
Look at that, guys. You can save money on the back end. See, it's just like little things like that. Like we don't. You know, you don't hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's, I love that you brought that up. Like, that's incredible. So what does your day look like? Like, what are you eating? Are you exercising? Like, how does this work for you?
So I have not been exercising. I know I was really good about it. It kind of fell off. So a typical day, so like right now I've been sipping. If you know, I don't know if you saw me doing that. Mm-hmm. I do profi. I should do two every day. That's usually my breakfast. I work from home right now. I'm actually starting a new job next week where I'll be in the office 3 days a week, but I've been working from home for 7 years. So okay. I've had the flexibility to just have whatever. But I do profi usually two every day just because I like them more than
you do what you want, man.
And then lunch, a lot of times I'll grill up some chicken like for the week. And then I like to just cut it like into cubes and I put some cottage cheese in with it and warm it up. And it makes it almost like an Alfredo sauce. And it's delicious because it's not like, some people don't like the consistency of cottage cheese. Once you warm it up, it's not like that. It's just cheese and it has a lot
of moisture. I've never thought about that.
Yeah. So I put a couple of scoops of cottage cheese in with some grilled chicken and sometimes I sprinkle a little Parmesan on whatever I feel like doing.
Yeah.
But it's really good. And it's pretty much pure protein. For
I was
going to
say that's very high protein.
So I do that a lot of times for lunch and then dinner. I don't usually, because again, I'm not hungry because I'm on the terzepatide. So dinner, it's usually just like, I don't know, depends on what everybody else feels like having. Cause my husband and my son still lives at home. Chicken and veggies or burgers or whatever. And I've gotten, it took a little while to figure out, you know, my full cues but I am very, aware of how much I'm eating so that I know what my full cues are and be like, yes, this burger is delicious, but I'm full, so I need to stop eating it. Like, that has been something everybody who's had surgery knows that takes some getting used to.
Oh, yeah.
And the further out you get, the easier it is to ignore it. But I've always tried to be very aware of how much I'm eating. And that's why I think, too, doing that 6 months before surgery and measuring and weighing and everything, that has helped me in the long term. Because once I wasn't as restricted from the surgery, I still knew what the proportion
was. Yeah.
Because it became like second nature.
It's the point of it right there, guys, because now you can picture it, you know exactly what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't measure anymore.
No.
I don't have to.
No, because you have done it so much that your brain knows. And that's kind of what's nice. Like, even when you go to restaurants and hang out with your friends at parties, like, you can eyeball everything. Yes. I know for myself, I had to like it was like 2 or 3 years ago, I like started tracking again just to see where I was at. Mm-hmm. And everything was fine with protein. Like, yeah, I was not getting enough protein, and it was an eye opener. And it was nice that like I did it with my Benchies. So I have Patreon, and we did that together. And it was like, oh shit, like actually way lower than I expected. So I do think every like maybe like 6 months to a year, check in with yourself, see if you're getting the right amount of things. There's no harm in it.
Right.
It really is just making sure you're on track. Like, I know some people can't weigh themselves every day or just period. Like, I do it once. I try to do it once a week.
That's what just, I do too.
Yeah. It became like a Saturday thing, where like I would get up every on Saturday mornings, and then I would do my business in the bathroom, and then I would weigh myself. And I do recommend doing that, because I've learned that's it's called a dry weight. So it's actually where all the toxins and everything's out of your body after you go to the bathroom in the morning. And then that's your weight. Like, that's your actual weight. Because I got hate online by someone saying, like, don't tell people to do that. You're creating, like, body dysmorphia and food problems for people, food disorders. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm just telling them to do something that, like, I've been told to do by doctors and dietitians. Yeah. Like, there's an actual term for it.
Everybody has to make that decision for themselves.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
And that goes back to my whole point of, don't take medical advice from people on the internet. Talk to your medical team. But I can tell you myself what I do. Because I'm on the Zepbound, I take my shot on Wednesdays. And that is the day I weigh myself, because then I can remember to do it all the same day.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
And sometimes I don't weigh myself. I try to, because I keep a log just in case, you know, because I get the Zepbound prescription from my doctor. So I want to make sure that when I'm time for a refill, I can be like, we can see what my weight has been doing. And that's the easiest way for me to do it is my scales. Yeah. I do an app. Like I said, do I do it every week? Not always. Sometimes I forget. But that's kind of what I do, because I like most people, I think, who have had some sort of weight loss surgery, the fear of regain is real.
Real, real.
Like, if I see it going even a few pounds a couple weeks in a row the wrong direction, I'm like, put on the brakes. Like, what am I doing? Like, I need to reassess, because I have lost weight over 100 pounds before and gained it back. Like, I do not want that. Like, I will mentally not be okay if that happens this time.
And like, that's why I weigh myself too. It's just a check-in with myself. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, when you start seeing it go up, you're like, all right, we're going to reassess this shit. Like, what have I been doing the last couple of weeks?
Right.
And most of the time, like, it's because I wasn't moving enough. Mm-hmm. Or this is a big one, guys, and people don't think about it. It's literally water, too. Like, if you're not drinking your water, like, you can go a couple weeks without losing anything. And then all of a sudden, if you're drinking your water perfectly, then boom, you drop like a few pounds, because your body needs to push this out. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds gross, but you're only going to be able to, you can breathe it out, sweat it out, poop it out, or pee it out. Like, that's it. So, and I say the breath thing because I watched a doc where, like, you should really do the breathing techniques that they teach you with exercise, because you're actually, like, exhaling actual, like, stuff out that you should be exhaling out. So your body doesn't have to process it. So I was like, oh, okay.
Very cool. It's important to not stress over every pound. Like, I don't look and go, oh, I gained 1 pound this week, I need to reassess. Like, that's not realistic. Now, if we're looking at 5, then maybe I go, oh, okay. But if it's 1 or 2, it's like you said, it's probably poop. Like,
yeah, it's poop, it's water, it's something.
You know?
Because our body holds on to this stuff all the time for our body's own reasons. Like, it could just be, like, for women, it could be our cycle. Mm-hmm. I'm in perimenopause, so, like, I know that's gonna, it's affecting me.
It does.
And then it's gonna affect us when we go into menopause and postmenopause. Mm-hmm. So, like, our hormones do a number on our weight, and it's gonna fluctuate.
Yeah.
It's just who we are as women. That's just
And then the other thing, like, I don't keep myself from enjoying food either. If I want a piece of cake, I have a piece of cake. Like, it's fine. I tell, like, when we talk about this in our support group too, it's like, I did not go through all of this process and everything to be on a diet my whole life.
Exactly.
And that said, obviously I'm not going out and eating cake every day, but if I want, and honestly, I can't eat very much sugar, like it upsets my stomach, but if I want a French fry, I'm going to have a French fry. You know what I mean? Like, I eat bread, I eat carbs, I eat all of those things. Do I prioritize my protein first? Yes. Then you have less room for the carbs, but I eat a hamburger on a bun. I eat a sandwich with bread. I eat cheese and crackers. It's fine, because first of all, life's too short to feel like you're depriving yourself all the time. And if you drop dead tomorrow, or then you're like, oh, I'm so glad she never ate what she wanted to eat. Like,
I know.
It's so stupid.
It's so dumb.
Obviously, if that's something that's triggering for you, that you can't just eat one piece of bread without going crazy, then maybe don't. Maybe that's not for you. But that's not me. And so if I want to eat something, I eat it. Like,
well, and I think that's important because, like, yeah, we did have the surgery to get healthy, to get to a normal weight, to where we can actually, like, function on a regular day-to-day basis. But yeah, it's not about you're never going to have these foods again, because I hear that all the time.
Not realistic.
It just isn't, right? Now, am I a big proponent kind of like you, where, like, maybe don't bring in the trigger foods, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I always say, like, you don't put a crackhead in a crack house, right? Like, you, same difference for us. It's like, I know my trigger foods, garlic bread and cookies. These two are huge on my list of, like, I can't control myself. And I know that about myself, but I had to go through this process to learn that. So it's okay to learn what your stuff is, figure it out, and then just don't bring it into the house. And like, for me, I don't bring it in the house, but I will have it if, say, I'm at a friend's house. Like, if they have a cookie, like, and it's only chocolate chip cookie. People that know me know it's chocolate chip. So, but like, if they have a cookie that's chocolate chip there, I'm not going to deny myself a chocolate chip cookie.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I'm still going to have it, but I'm not going to bring them home. I'm not going to buy them. And I have bought them on, like, not an accident where, like, my brain was like, do it. It's on sale, you know, like $3.99 for like 12 cookies. Fuck yeah. And then they're gone in 2 days.
Right.
Like, that's,
well, that's like Girl Scout cookies. Like, it was just Girl Scout cookie season.
Yep.
And my husband and I were at Sam's, and there was this cute little girl out there selling. He's like, should we get some? I'm like, nope. I said, because that box of Caramel Delights, I could eat that whole box by myself in one sitting. I would feel sick afterward, but I would eat the whole thing. Like, those are bite size. Like, you just keep shoveling those babies in there.
Yeah. And then we tell ourselves, well, they're bite size. So it's like, I have four equals like one big one, you know, like versus
both sleeves.
Like, yep.
I might like limit myself and do one sleeve now and one sleeve tonight, but I still in one day ate the whole box. Like,
I feel a little bit better that I'm not the only one that has that problem. Because, like, legit, like, that's how I am with chocolate chip cookies. So, like, I've done that to myself several times. So
yeah,
guys, don't feel bad about this kind of stuff. Like, these are normal things. Is there anything that's random that's happened during your journey that you didn't expect?
You mean like food wise or what do you
like
mean?
Well, anything, like the girl, like for me, I didn't know what the gurgles were, so I didn't realize that was a full cue. Like, I didn't realize, oh, my nose is like leaking a little bit. Now I'm full. Like, this
full
is interesting.
Were weird to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, I have one side of my nose runs. I also will like hiccup one time when I'm full. And it took a little bit to figure out those were full cues. And anybody who's had the surgery knows you test those boundaries at first. And then you realize that you shouldn't and why you shouldn't. So, you know, almost 5 years out, I know what they are and I'm very aware of them. And I've gotten so much better at, like, you know what? I don't need to finish this burger. I ate half of it. I'm full. I can throw it away. It's okay.
Yeah.
You can. Or like my husband and I will go out for dinner and we might be going to go have steak somewhere, right? I know I can't eat that much. So we'll order, like, instead of him ordering a 8-ounce steak and me ordering like a 6-ounce steak or whatever, we'll just order 1 12-ounce. I cut off a little piece and, you know, eat part of his side and I'm good. Like, I actually, when I first had my surgery, I bought a little travel scale for my purse.
Nice.
That I would take because I was meticulously logging everything for well over a year after surgery because I did not want to screw it up. Like, I worked so hard and waited so long. I was like, this is my last chance to get rid of this weight. And come hell or high water, I'm going to do absolutely everything to be successful at it. Yeah. And so for me, I carried in my purse, I'm not kidding, you can get it on Amazon, a little travel scale. Mm-hmm. And I also carried little measuring spoon things because like our little, it was like a measuring cup, it had like cups and like tablespoons. Okay. So that I could measure all of my sides, like I wanted to know exactly what I was. Now, is that a little over the top? Yes. But I did it because my brain needed me to do it. Like, that was the only way I could feel like I was doing everything I needed to do so that if this didn't work, I could be like, okay, doctor, these are all of the things I did. Why didn't it work?
Yeah. Like, it's like a safety net. It's knowing that you did everything you could. And now it's like, what I have to do now? Because it's like, hey man, I did what you told me. And I was the same. I was so scared to get off the, you know, the binder list of food. Oh, yeah. I adhered to that thing. I did not bring a scale with me, but the thought was there. I'm not going to lie. If it wasn't for my husband at the time, because I also have an ex-husband that was the father of my children. And like, you know, like if he would have made comments, like that's the deal, is that I didn't bring it just because I knew it would make him uncomfortable and make me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So that was the only reason why I didn't, guys, because I know several people that do that to this day. Like, newbies do it all the time, like, and people that are even further out do this. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm noticing restaurants aren't caring anymore. Like, no one's like commenting about your food much. Like, when I don't eat a lot, it's not, did you not like it?
I still get that sometimes.
You're still getting that.
I still get that sometimes. Not as much as I used to, especially now with so many people being on GLP-1s. I think it's much more common.
Right. Yeah.
The thing that I used to get, you know, because you're not supposed to drink like whatever it is, 30 minutes before, 30 minutes.
Well, yeah.
So like I wouldn't order anything to drink like at a restaurant, and it made the servers very uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes.
And they would be like, are you sure? And you don't want even any water? Like they were baffled by it. So I've just started ordering water. If I drink it, I drink it. If I don't, I don't.
That's what I do. Yep.
Because they looked at me like I had three heads. Like, what do you mean you don't even want water? Like, that's just weird. Like,
oh, what? That is the funniest thing, because I know this look, and the look is great because you're just like, yeah, I don't want anything. But then they're just like, I can see it in their head, like, but what happens if you choke? Like, that was kind of like, I felt like that's what their deal was. Like, but what happens if your mouth's dry and you can't eat your food? Like,
what? I think they were too. It's like, water's free. Like, are you doing this to save money? Like, just get the water.
Water. Yeah. And that's what I do now. Just water, guys, because I love iced tea, but iced tea is like $3.50. I'm like, I'll just make it at home. This is very
tedious.
Unless
we're going to sit there for hours. And even then, like, I can get my water in if we're sitting here.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I almost always just do water. And one thing I have not gone back to is soda. I don't tolerate carbonation very well. It just makes me feel real uncomfortable. So I don't do any carbonation if I can at all help it. So I used to be a Diet Coke, like I loved Diet Coke pre-surgery. I've tried it once since I had surgery and I was like, it's not for me now.
Yeah.
I don't miss soda at all.
Good. Good. I love hearing that, because that's a lot of people, soda was their problem. And so like they're switching to different things, but like the carbonation can hurt you. Like that's just, It is what it is. Different bodies have different issues. Yep. And for me, it's a same thing. I just feel like it's super tight.
Yeah.
Like after a while, like in my chest, I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
I do now. One of my favorite things. So I'm not going to tell you I'd never have soda, but I love one of my favorite snacks mm-hmm. is to do a root beer float. And to do that, I take root beer zero.
Okay.
And I mix it with a vanilla protein shake. And it is delicious. It tastes like a root beer float and it's protein. So it's fantastic. I don't do it super often, but once in a while, like in the evening, especially like if I feel like I want something sweet or ice cream or something, I do that.
I love that. You found like a workaround.
Yeah.
Like that's amazing. Well, on the show, I love to highlight the non-scale victories because the scale does stop. Me and you are very proponents of this. So I wanted to know, what are some of the non-scale victories you got to go through that you are just like, these are amazing?
Let me think. I mean, there's been so many. Like, these are the little ones, like going on an airplane and being able to cross my legs while I'm sitting in my seat. Crossing my legs at all is big for me. But yeah, the airplane thing, because again, I'm 5'10". So it was hard for me to even fit my knees in the seat, let alone cross my legs too. Like that's wild. Not needing a seatbelt extender when I fly. You know, that kind of stuff is always something. Or like this one is goofy too. Like we bought some lawn chairs for outside. I don't have to worry about the weight requirement. Like,
yes!
I can just buy the chair. Like, I don't have to look, is this one hold over 300 pounds? It doesn't matter. I can fit in it.
Well, what's funny about that one is that was a great one because I'm in Oregon. We do a lot of camping over here, right? And I was like, I'm just like, sometimes I'm just DeLulu. I'm just like, why do these camp chairs just keep breaking? Like, this is weird. Like, why are all they, like, mine's breaking, my friend's is breaking, they're there. And we're just like, oh, like, there is an actual weight requirement.
Why is it, like, 220 pounds? Like, that's so stupid.
Super stupid.
I mean,
guys,
like,
the standard, no offense, should be 300 pounds.
But a lot of them, it's like 225.
Yeah, and either the grown men are not even 225 sometimes.
Exactly.
You're like, what are you doing? Like,
who are these for?
Seriously. So, like, that was a big deal for me, too, being able to, like, oh, I can just buy any camp chair. Like, I don't have to worry at all.
Yeah.
Like, this is incredible. I forgot about that one. That one was a fun one.
That's a good one. And then, like, I was, like, about a month or so ago, my husband was having a medical procedure done, and we were talking, he's on Ozempic, because he's diabetic, and the nurse, we were talking about his Ozempic, and I made a reference about something about my tirzepatide or whatever, and she looks at me, and she goes, why are you on tirzepatide? And I was like, what? She's like, you don't need to lose weight. I was like, well, first of all, thank you, but you can't tell that by looking at me, like, you don't know anything about me. It was just very odd, but it was one of those things where I'm like, well, at least I must look like I don't need to lose weight. So that's good.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great feeling. But you're like, also, you don't know my insides.
But also, that was real weird to say to someone.
Yeah, because it's like, well, also, it's we're going to use this to maintain.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be where, all right,
I
we got to the point
to her.
And then
I'm like, well, I had gastric bypass and I use it for food noise, not necessarily weight loss. Not everybody that's on a GLP-1 is on it for weight loss.
Yeah, no. Like, for me, it's like, it was for my regain. So, guys, I regained in year 7 into 8 is when I regained. And it was, like, I took about 50 pounds. And once I saw it, I was like, whoa, Melanie is 242 pounds. Like, this is not good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I had to finally come to grips, like, I'm gonna need a GLP-1.
Mm-hmm.
And cause it took me a while. I was not on the bandwagon when it first started.
Yeah.
I never am, though, with any medicines. I'm just like, I know there's trials that have been done, but, you know, we're just gonna wait to see what the population, like, does with this shit.
Well, and, you know, what you said just made me remember, too, like, one of the things, so if anybody sees this who's on the fence about having surgery, right? For me, I was type 2 diabetic. When I had surgery, I also had high blood pressure. I was on insulin. And the day I had my bypass, I never have taken insulin since. And my blood pressure is normal. and I take no meds other than my vitamins. Well, and my sleeping meds because I'm perimenopausal and I don't sleep, but that has nothing to do with anything else. But that alone was so big for me that that's part of the reason I think I don't care as much about the number on the scale as I thought I would, because my labs are all perfect. And that's what it was about for me. It was never about being a size 8, because I'm not and I never will be. And that's okay. Like, I remember one of my friends when I was going to have my skin surgery, she's like, I bet when you're done, you'll be a size 8. I'm like, my bones without any skin are a size 8. I'm pretty sure, like, it's fine. Like, I'm a 12, 14 pretty comfortably. That's what it is. I will always be that, and I'm fine with it. Because I know my labs are good. I know all my everything, that I'm healthy. That was the whole point, especially now that I'm over 50. That matters even more than ever. The fact that I was able to do that before I got to this point, really, I wish I could have done it sooner, you know. But the fact that I did it at all is remarkable. And to be able to now be healthy at age 50, is it's worth it.
And not having to take those meds.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing is, like, I love hearing that because, yeah, a lot of us are on blood pressure medication. Some of us are on blood thinners. Some of us are on, like, helping our cholesterols, like, our insulin, everything. And once you, and when I hear that they are, like, non-existent anymore, I'm like, that's what it's about. Like, yes, like, not having to have medicine in your body, like, I think is the best thing. And now I do want to touch base on mental health real quick, because we have talked about how, like, mentally exhausting. Now, I only got a 15-minute phone call for when I started. How was that entry for you? Did they just check it off the box for you, or did they make you go every month? Like, what was it like?
I had one, I think it was like an hour, maybe.
You got an hour.
Okay. 30 minutes. I can't remember. But yeah, I went and sat with a person and they asked me some questions and they said, okay, you're good. Like, that was it.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Yeah, I think that is where bariatric providers have an opportunity to improve.
Huge
because
opportunity.
Because as you and I have talked about, the bariatric process is more mental than physical. Because, and I think when people fail, it's the mental. It's not that the surgery itself wasn't successful. For example, I told you that my friend and I do the support group. Well, a couple months ago, we had a lady show up and she was like 6 weeks out of surgery, 8 weeks, like very recent surgery. And we have our meeting at Barnes & Noble and we sit in the Starbucks area at Barnes & Noble.
Cool.
And she comes over and I'm not a judgmental person. But again, I know this woman is like 2 months or less out from surgery. I think she had sleep. And she sits down with a caramel crunch frappuccino. First of all, looking at it made my stomach hurt because I'm like, oh, just all. Because, like, I look at some of that stuff and I'm like, it just makes my stomach hurt looking at it. But she's 2 months out and she's drinking a caramel crunch frappuccino. That's where I'm saying, like, that told me instantly, just knowing what I know from my experience and people that I've talked to, that she did not get the mental preparation she needed.
Yeah.
That's 100%. A fail on her medical team's part, that she was not mentally prepared to have surgery.
Yeah, that's a big tell. Like, I'm glad that you brought that up because it is a mental game. I don't know if you're in therapy now, but like I have therapy on Thursday, so I'll be doing that.
I don't write at this moment because my therapist got a little weird. I'm actually in the market for a new one. But no, okay. I very much believe in therapy and mental health. And like I said, I don't blame this lady at all. Like,
right. It's the team.
She was not, I don't think, given the proper tools to be able to handle that issue. Now, should she have had some willpower? Sure. Should she have made different decisions? Sure. But at the end of the day, I don't think that just her doing that showed me that they didn't educate her as much as she needed to be educated.
100%. I agree, because it's a telling sign if someone's already, like, back in their ways, right?
Like, she never left.
yeah, it's like she never left. And people need to understand, like, this is a long game. Mm-hmm. This is not just that first honeymoon year or year and a half. This mm-hmm. is literally you're playing the long game. So you can lose slowly all you want. That's fine, because eventually you'll get there. I was a slow loser. I also have not gotten to my goal weight that I picked. So I get it. But it's true. Like, we really need to be mentally prepared that this is not just a wham bam and we're done. Like, this is like a whole lifestyle change. When we say that, we really mean that, because I know, like, I don't hang out with the same people as I did before, because they were all about drinking or going out to fast food restaurants. A lot of
sugar and alcohol.
There is a lot of sugar and alcohol. And my dad used to say, like, at the end of every beer, it's a pork chop, because it's basically the same calories and everything as a pork chop. I was like,
well,
oh my God.
I know, like, when I went through the process, the pre-surgical process, 6 months feels crazy. And I'm like, I just want to do it. Like, I don't want to wait 6 months.
Right.
But in retrospect, I'm so glad I did have to at least 3 months, because it gives you the opportunity, like I said, to put those things in place, to wrap your brain around it, to educate yourself and figure out what's coming. And I think it's so important for people to do that. But also, if you're considering doing it, talk to real people who've had it, who've been through it, and who can give you what it's really like. Because, yeah, I sat through all those dietitian classes or whatever, and that's great. Like, I got a lot of helpful information. But it's so much more helpful to talk to somebody who's like, hey, I remember eating those refried beans after surgery. That was the best thing I ever ate. I was never been so excited to eat refried beans in my whole life. Only someone who's been a bariatric patient can appreciate that. It's that kind of stuff where someone who's been through it will understand the body dysmorphia, unlike someone who is, even your medical providers might not understand it if they've never struggled with their weight. Talking to somebody who's been through it, who you can, you know, ask the goofy questions like, hey, I don't poop every day. Do you poop? Like,
right. Like, is that normal?
Like, you know, or I eat beef and it feels like it gets stuck right here and I can't do that. I can't eat that. Is that normal? Does that happen to you? You know, that kind of stuff that you need to talk to someone who's been through it to really get the answers. But you need to do all of that research while you're pre-op so that you know exactly what you're dealing with. And that's why I think it's important to go to those like support groups even before you have surgery, so that you, even if you don't have anything to contribute because you don't know what to ask, because you probably don't, but to hear the conversation of people who are a little bit outgoing talking about those things, you go, oh, I didn't know that was a thing, or I didn't know I wouldn't be able to drink carbonation. Like, you know, stuff like that, that you might not get that information from your provider because they maybe don't even know to tell you because they themselves haven't experienced it. So that would be my biggest advice to people is, and I know we've gotten far away from fashion, which is where we started, but is to find a local group or build one if you don't have one, of people who have been through it no matter what stage of the process, so you can get real information.
I agree, because it's very, very important to be around people that have gone through what you've gone through, mm-hmm. because we can look at each other and be like, we get it. Especially when the waiter could like say like, yeah, we are at, you know, Starbucks hanging out, and a waiter comes around and asks like if we need anything else, and we're all like, no, we're good. And they kind of give us a look, and it's like, we all look at each other like, yeah, no, there's no way we can have anything else. Like, it's just not going to happen. So it's just nice to have that, like, just the eye talk where like you can just know what's going on. And that's why I'm a big proponent to you. Like, go to meetups. If you don't have one locally, make your own meetup. Exactly. Like,
and that's just what we did.
Yeah. It's very important because like, one, you create really cool friendships. Like, I have some of the best friendships I've ever had in my life because of going to meetups and going to, or in me creating them, because I'm just like, I love, one, I love people. And two, it's like, it's just so nice to like have someone understand. Like, one of my biggest NSVs was when I was in a shower, my body didn't touch like the things, right? It didn't touch the, what is that? The shirt, the curtain. It didn't touch the wall. Like, that was like one of my favorite ones. And some people, like, you know, small people have never experienced that. Yeah. But like, when I'm around my people, they're like, oh my God, I forgot. Like, that was a good one. Like, the towel, being able to wrap yourself around with a normal towel. I don't have to use a beach towel anymore, you know? Like,
well, when I went to my plastic surgery consult, they give you a robe to put on. I was like, oh no, this robe is
right.
But I wrapped that baby around. I was like, oh, and I actually did a little video. Like, I can actually wear this robe.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that. One of the things we do sometimes at our little like support group meeting, especially if we have new people, is we all pull up our before photos.
Oh, like, good.
This is who I used to be, you know, because some people are further out, some people are not. But it's good to give people a chance to brag on themselves too, because this is hard. Like, you should be able to brag on yourself. It's okay. Like, you should be proud of even going through the process, because it is hard. To start it, to see it through, to actually lose the weight, every step of it is hard.
It is. And that anybody that tells you that it's not has no idea what
it is. It is not a magic wand.
No, not at all. And I definitely want to end about style. We'll start about style, end about style. So what has it changed into? Like, what were you wearing prior? And what are you doing? I know that you're funky. I can already tell. Like, what? So guys, go on to YouTube if you haven't already. You get to see her in person, because I know I'm a little funky and like I love punk rock and like I'm more like the rocker girl on my side. So, and you have the ball necklace where I'm just like, I used to wear that all the time. So
yeah.
I love it.
I haven't had these very long. So I do what's called dopamine dressing, which means I dress for my moods. So sometimes I wear a lot of colors, a lot of patterns. I love to have quirky elements. I have sweaters with dinosaurs. I have things with aliens. Like, it's whatever my mood is for the day. Sometimes it's more tame. Sometimes it's very kooky. And that's what I like to do, because number one, life's too short to worry about what other people think. That's something that I don't think is weight related as it is age related. I'm a big believer in your opinion of me is not my problem. It's not my business. I don't need to know what you're thinking. That's not my business. That's your business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like the back of my hair is not my business. I don't see it. It's not my business. But no, it's, and it, you know, we get hung up on, and this is a term I hate, is, oh, that's so flattering. What does that even mean? To most people, that term means it makes you look smaller. Now, I have learned, because I had a viral video on this actually, where I was like, is this outfit flattering? No, but it's fabulous, because in the generation I am, flattering means makes me look smaller.
Yep, same.
But I had so many comments from people going, well, yeah, it's flattering because that color looks great on you. Or it's flattering because it makes you happy. And so that was really eye-opening for me. Number one, I don't use that word anymore. And number two, it's everything is subjective, right?
It is.
And I don't care. And we talked about this at the beginning. I don't care if I look smaller. I don't care about taking up space, because I'm allowed to take up whatever space I want. And like I said, a lot of that is more coming from the age I'm at, because what I'm finding now that I'm over 50 and a lot of my creators I follow and like people that I've, you know, become acquainted with, especially on social media, many of them are late 40s, early 50s. And we're all kind of at that point now. Like, I don't care if
it doesn't matter.
Like, I've been told I dress like a toddler. Okay, great. Toddlers dress for fun. They're fun people to be around. Like, okay, I don't take that as an insult, right? A lot of people assume I'm an art teacher. I am not an art teacher, but art teachers are fun people. So I don't think, you know, it's like, I just don't take offense to it anymore. I like to be creative and express myself through my clothes. Like, if I go somewhere, almost always somebody will stop me and tell me they like this or that or my outfit or that I'm a vibe, like everywhere, Walmart,
love that.
Grocery
yep.
store, wherever. Like, I went and visited my daughter at college and we were walking around and I had so many random college kids go, oh my gosh, I love your vibe. Like, you're just the whole vibe. You're like, it happens literally every time I leave the house. And so that's great. I love that positive reinforcement. Like, obviously I like that, but I don't need it because I know that it makes me happy. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. Like I'll have women like send me DMs or like comment on stuff going, I would love to dress like you do or to wear more color or pattern. Like I had one woman, it was the saddest thing ever. She's like, I would love to do that, but my family would make fun of me. And I made a video about it. And I was like, why would your family want to dull your shine? Like, I don't understand that. Like, why does your family not want you to be your authentic self? I just can't understand that. Because if it makes you happy, why would your family want you to be unhappy? You know, so that was, I couldn't wrap my head around that. But my advice to her was, okay, not everybody wants to jump into the deep end of the pool and wear multiple patterns and colors and all the things. Like, I get that. I didn't start there either. I worked up to this. Like, if you look even a year ago, my outfits were very different than they are now. You have to start small, right? That's my best advice to people is start small. If you like weird, quirky things, get a necklace with a dinosaur on it or an alien or some weird thing. Wear your normal outfit, but have a couple random accessories that are quirky or unique. Or a fun pair of pants with a different pattern or a color that maybe you haven't worn before. Like, you don't have to start out like just screaming in a very loud outfit. Now, if you want to, great.
Do it. Yeah.
You have to. It's not everybody is ready to start there. You can start small and it might not be anything anybody else can even see. Like I said, maybe it's a fun little quirky earring that you're wearing and your hair covers it, but you know it's there. You know, it could be something as small as that, or it's your glasses that, you know, you just, instead of getting tan like these, you got hot pink and now you feel, you know, I don't know. It's
I know me, what you're talking about for
it's
sure.
Start small if that's what you need to do to feel comfortable and confident. But if you want to go full on dopamine like I am, do it. Like, who cares what anybody else has to say about it? Their opinion like you is not your business.
It's not. And I love that you call it like a dopamine style. Like, that makes complete sense to me because like as you're talking, I'm like, I've done that. Like, I've totally, if I am not like, if I'm in a mood of like I'm angst, like I'm just like, just a little bit, like then full on punk rock Mel comes out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wearing black jeans, studded belt, black shirt, fucking my pearls. Like, we're going all out and you're not going to be able to stop me. But exactly. Then other days I'm like, I'm wearing a pink sweater. And then another day I'm wearing my yellow.
Exactly.
And it did start there. Like you said, like I used to have two pairs of pants, five shirts. And they were all dark colors, right?
It makes you look smaller.
That's what we were told. A bunch of liars. It really doesn't.
Nice.
And so, like, I started very small. It was actually dresses. I was like, I kind of want to wear a dress. Like,
and do it.
And then I did it. And then I definitely did a shopping problem, like, year two and three, because I was very excited.
Yeah.
And I had all these dresses, and it was so funny to wear, like, I don't know if you know Gro with Shay, but I love her. And she came over to my house, like, I live in Oregon, and she lives in Medford, and she came over, and I now have two closets of dresses. After a full, and think about it, this is 10 years. I'm a 10-year post-op, so over 10 years, I have gathered two closets worth. She helped me go through and we went like, literally we're like, okay, we're keeping these. We're going to donate these. And then she's going to take these. And she went home with like a whole new wardrobe for herself.
The other thing I'm a big proponent of is not saving things for special occasions. If you have a sequin skirt or sequin pants and it's Tuesday and you want to wear sequins, wear them. What are you saving them for? Like, who cares? Where are you going to wear it? To the grocery store. I don't know. To the mailbox. I work from home. I wear sequins all the time. No one ever sees me.
Like, yeah, it's what you wear. Yeah, you know.
It's for you. Your clothes are for you. And the other thing that I hear a lot that always has irritated me is age appropriate. Hate that.
Yes.
Thing.
I hate it too.
Because I don't know about you, but after a toddler, I don't know of any clothes that have an age tag. I'm not familiar with any brands that have an age tag. So I believe if it's in my size and I like it, I can wear it.
Yeah.
It
doesn't matter what how old I am.
There's no age requirements or restrictions on any piece of clothing that I'm aware of anyway. So that is just goofy to me too. Like, if you want to wear a crop top, wear a crop top. Who cares? Yeah.
Well, some people just have those rules, and you're just reminding me of my ex-husband a lot because, like, he had that, like, dress your age. So that meant, like, I couldn't wear, like, hipster jeans, or like I couldn't wear certain tops or That's dresses. Crazy. Those are for them, not for you. If we went to a concert, because I love going to concerts, you couldn't wear the band's shirt there. Like, you had to wear a different band shirt and then buy a band shirt. Like, he had all these fucking stupid ass rules. And I'm just like, why does this matter? Like, can't I just wear what the fuck I want to wear and just go?
Rules are not that serious.
Oh my God.
In the world we live in today, what a person is wearing is not that serious.
It's not. It's
like, it makes them happy. And that's something that I had to unlearn too, is like, if you go to a fitting room, like with one of my kids or something, instead of being like, you know, talking about it from my point of view, to first go, how do you feel in it? Do you like it? You know, because that's not how I was raised or how we used to do it. It's like, well, I don't like that on you. It looks like this or it looks like that. But I've stopped doing that. And it's something you have to retrain your brain for sure. But instead going, okay, well, you tell me what you think. And then if you want my opinion, I'll tell you what I think. But otherwise, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what you think because you're the one wearing it. Like,
love that. My kid hated going shopping with his dad because it was always about what he wanted him to wear. Not what he wanted to wear. And it's just old school shit. Like, you're just so right. Like, my mom would do that all the time. Be like, well, I don't really like it on you. But then I would be like, but I like it.
And that's all that matters.
But we wouldn't get it because mom didn't like it. So it was like, but I'm the one wearing it. Like, it made no sense back then. But now, like, as parents and us going through this shit, like, we have to flip it. And it is kind of hard for our brains to get used to. But once you're doing it, it's so much easier. Like, I know my kid's 20. He likes pastels. Like, he just does. He looks great in them too. Yeah. I'm just like, him in like a light purple or a light pink, I'm like, killing it, bro. Like, you know, and his girlfriend loves it. She loves how he dresses. So it's just like, let them have their own style is very important, because I think we really need to let people express themselves. Mm-hmm. Only time I will be an asshole, and I think this is just from old school, is like, I hate it when people go to school in PJs. I don't know why, but I look at it and I just get angry. It's
fine. It doesn't bother me. Like, I don't understand it.
I don't understand it.
But,
I don't get it.
Whatever.
You do you. Yeah.
What's your boat? If you want to look like you just rolled out of bed, knock yourself out.
Yeah. It was hard. Like, because I did let my kid do it. And I was just like, okay, can you just, like, once a week? Like, I can't. Yeah. And he's just like, what is the deal? And I was just like, the deal for me is, like, if you don't, like, I feel like you're just not taking school seriously is kind of the deal. It's like old school where I'm like,
yeah, but like, your clothes don't affect
dress for a success situation, you know? And so, like, because that was definitely ingrained in me.
Yeah.
And
sure.
So I was like, this is just what it feels like. It just feels like you're not taking it seriously. Like, you're not even getting up earlier. You're not taking
your
a shower.
That's
your hangup, not theirs. Yeah, it's 100%. It's totally all me. And, like, eventually I got over it, right? Yeah. But it was just like, come on, kids. But really, it's just my hangup. So,
yeah.
But they're really, like, style, and that's who you are. And it's very funny if you go through, like, say when you're traveling, you go through your suitcase. Mm-hmm. Like, I just did this where I'm like, hey, what should I wear? And I threw out like a couple different shirts and I was like, oh, this is so me. Like, there is a comedy shirt, a band shirt, and then there's like just a regular like cutesy flowery shirt. I was like, you can totally tell this is my suitcase. But I love that because like I've gotten to a place where I can express myself now.
Yeah. And style is personal.
It really is.
It's you know, what I like isn't going to be what you're going to like. So, like, one thing I have started just as, like, a little side gig is I do virtual styling for people. And one of the things that I've done some of my friends and some other people here in my town, I've gone to their house and, like, helped them go through their closet and, like, think of their clothes in a different way and tell them where they might have gaps in their closet and that kind of stuff. But one of the things, like, on my website, on that page, is, like, I don't want you to dress like me. Like, I want you to wear what you feel good in. I will help you look at your clothes more creatively and tell you where I think you might have some opportunities to make better use of what you have. But the goal is not for you to dress like me. Like, that's silly. Like, I don't want people to dress like me. I want to give you ideas and things that you can do to make you look at not only what you have, but when you're out shopping, if you decide to do that, or you're thrifting or whatever your thing is, what makes sense, or how can I look at things differently? Like, for example, one of my favorite things to do is, like, if I'm wearing a graphic tee, instead of putting a button-up shirt over it, I like to put it under it, because then you can see the graphic better. And, you know, that kind of stuff where people are like, oh, I never even thought about that. I've got those two things. I've just been putting them on the opposite way. And now that I put them on this way, it's like a whole other look, you know.
It is, yeah.
That kind of stuff. You know, some of the people I've helped here in my town, you know, they're professional people who are in corporate wear. But just because you're wearing corporate wear doesn't mean all you can do is just look boring and frumpy. Like,
you don't have to
put a creative twist on corporate wear and be completely appropriate for your setting. But sometimes people, you get in a style rut, or you just don't look at things different ways. Accessories can go a long way. You know, these necklaces aren't thrifted, but most of my necklaces and jewelry is thrifted, because that's the first place I go in the thrift store, or like an estate sale. You can get some good stuff.
You can, like, yes.
Super inexpensively. And that's a great way to add some style to your outfit, is through your accessories, whether it's scarves or jewelry or belts or glasses. I have like 35 pairs of glasses. Literally. I only know that because I had to buy a box and it holds 30, and I still have 5 or 6 that didn't fit. But yeah, I mean, that's where the key is the accessories. Styling makes a big difference. You know, how I would style a t-shirt and jeans is not the same as how someone else should do it, because it's very personal to you. But also, how I would style it today and how I style it tomorrow might not be the same either, because today I might be feeling a rainbow quirky vibe, and tomorrow I might just feel more toned down and just want to do a vest and it's black and I've got a white t-shirt on. I mean, it's personal and it depends on the day.
Well, and I like that you're helping people, because you just don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard for me, because I didn't know. Like, I literally was just watching people online and trying to figure out, like, do I like that? Do I not like that? Because I think we go through a phase of, do I really like what I'm wearing? Do I really like what I'm eating? Do I really like what I'm listening to? Like, I went through that for myself. I loved hearing other people's opinions like yours, because I just didn't think about it like that. Like, I have so many different things in my closet where, like, when my friends would come over, it was so helpful, because I'm not a girly girl, but I want to look a little girly, right? And so I'm like, how do I mix my, like, tough punk rock girl with, like, some girly stuff to make me feel some more feminine, right?
Right.
And I didn't know what I was doing. So it's like, I needed help. And I think it's great that you're helping people, because it's just, it is hard. It just is.
Well, and like, one of my friends here that, you know, I went over to her house and helped her, and she's a realtor, and she had a lot of great pieces. And I went over there and I was literally in her closet. I'm like, how about this with this? And she's like, I never would have thought to put those two things together. And it looked amazing. She's like, those things have been hanging next to each other for years, and I never imagined putting those two things together. So sometimes it's just looking at it with the creative eye or a different point of view. You know, I'm sure if somebody went through my closet, which is a hot mess, by the way, I actually have 3 of them.
One of me.
And bins. I have a lot.
I love it.
But I'm sure people would look at my stuff and do it a different way too. But that's one of the things I love too about doing fashion content, is I every day go into my own closet and go, okay, I've worn this with this before. Let me think, what else do I have that might change it up or make it different, you know? Or like a denim vest like this, like, it can go with so many different things. It can be dressier. It can be super casual. It can be a little punk rock. It can be country. It can be whatever your vibe is for the day. And that's what I love. And like, when I go shopping, like I said, I have a lot of clothes. This is something I've told people that seems to help them, is if I'm shopping and I see something that I want to buy, the first thing I do is go into my little mental Rolodex and say, okay, what are three outfits I could make with this outfit right now?
Nice.
Because that doesn't mean if I can't that I'm not going to buy it, but it makes me think a little harder on it. But then at least you don't have a bunch of stuff in your closet that doesn't go with anything else you have. Because I think a lot of people like impulse buy it and then it sits in their closet with the tags on it because they don't know how to wear it. So if you do that and you make that conscious decision while you're looking at it, you go, oh, okay, I could, and not that you have to wear it with those three things, but at least you know you can. But I'm not going to say that there aren't some things that just speak to me and I'm like, I don't care, I'll figure an outfit out later. Because I love it so much. I mean, that happens too. And the other thing too is like, if I am somewhere and it's on sale or it's thrifted or whatever, like, do I like it because it's on sale or do I like it because I like it?
Yeah.
It's not always the same. And you go, well, if it was $40 instead of $10, would I still want it? If the answer is no, you probably shouldn't buy it.
Like that one. That's a good tip. Sometimes we're just hit. Like, it's dopamine. Like, we see the sale. We're like, ah, we get a deal.
I spent so much money.
Woohoo! And then we don't layer it. And I know there's clothes up there that I have not worn. That you're right. They are still tagged. Because, like, I don't know. Yeah, you're completely right. Where I'm like, I like it. I don't know what to do with it.
Is it practical? Does it fit into my life? If not,
then should we really have it? And that's, like, I love this. Okay, guys. If you need help with your styling, definitely go to Jody. This is so cool because we need this. This is something that this community really needs because this is like an opportunity for us to really express who we are within the things that we already like and have. And obviously you can buy more and do whatever you want. But I think that this is like such a good thing to have a resource for because you are quirky and fun and you like this kind of stuff. Like, definitely go to someone that likes what they're doing with style. Like, and if you like their style too, you're like, all right, cool. Like, we know that like she's really going to look at things objectively. And I think that's what I would need.
Yeah. So remakingjody.com, that's where they can go and you can see all about my philosophy on virtual styling and schedule a session and all that stuff.
Fun. All righty. Well, we are about to wrap up. Is there any the one thing I like to ask is like if you could go back and tell Jody at the beginning of surgery, what would you tell her?
I think I would just tell her, number one, you're making the right choice and that you can do this. You just have to know what you're getting into and prepare.
Hey guys, well, thank you so much, Jody, for coming on to the show, showing us all of your love and style and what you have been through. You guys know the drill. Get that water, protein. You got to move your body. Get the therapy done. And lastly, vitamins. I got my ProCare vitamins. I literally have an alarm that goes off at 3 every day to take it because I take the one with iron. So I have to have food in my body. So I figured 3 o'clock, I should have food in my body by then. You know, it's like I should have it. If I don't, we have a problem,
right?
Alrighty, guys. So the last thing is, don't be an asshole to one another. Have a great week and ask us if you have any questions. Bye.
Thanks for tuning into Ours Lead Life podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone that needs it. Remember, small, consistent steps create lasting change. I'll see you on the next episode.